Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. So tough loss yesterday, 2-0. Not scoring against the Athletics. That's not a place you want to be as you're a Yankee fan. Look, Carlos Rodon put together a great, honestly, maybe his best performance since becoming a Yankee. He was excellent yesterday. 7 scoreless innings, 1 hit, couple strikeouts. He looked really good. Used the entire pitch mix, unloaded the arsenal and the toolbox. He was really solid. And you know, that cutter has been great for him this year. But, you know, looking at the reason this team isn't scoring, well, the top of the order has been a little bit ineffective. But we want to talk about one player who's been, I don't even know if it's ice cold. I think it's more like permafrost cold. This guy is, I mean, he's frozen in time, man. It's really bad. And Anthony Rizzo is the player we're talking about today. Is there a way back for him? It's still early in the season. We'll try to quell some concerns, but it's kind of hard to because there's a lot of metrics suggesting that he is not looking good. Like, maybe it's age. Maybe it's the concussion from last year. Could just be a cold streak. We're going to look into it. We're going to dive into it for you guys, kind of give our insight and take on what's going on with him and if there's a way back for Rizzo. Because even his defense is looking like a shell of itself. And it's certainly unfortunate. You know, this is an older player now, definitely heading towards the back end of his prime, if not past that, 34 years old. We've seen other guys like DJ LeMay who take steps in the wrong direction due to age. And, you know, following that concussion just seems like Rizzo never really, he doesn't look the same, to be quite honest. But, you know, Ryan, before we dive into him, how do you do today, my friend?
Not great after that loss. Well, I will say, if we're talking about baseball only, not great, but talking about life, I mean, our New York Knicks, baby, Philly, talk about a win, right? Talk about a win, talk about stealing a game, talk about, you know, just having a ball game. The New York Knicks, Knicks country, let's ride. But getting back to the Yankees here, because I know that's what people are here for, though, if you are here a little bit for the Knicks, let's go Knicks, baby. But getting back to Anthony Rizzo, I mean, you said, you know, we're trying to find a way to, you know, make sense of this, but I think the only rational way to make sense of this right now is that he might be cooked, Alex. He has a 283 expected weighted on base average since the concussion. So we're going since the concussion, since that incident. He is slashing 191 with a 280 OBP and a 245 slugging percentage. A 245 slugging percentage. 245, under 300, under 250. That's, I mean, remarkably bad. 2.6% barrel rate. He has four barrels since June 1st of last year. He has 2 home runs since June 1st of last year. He's been bad. Like, you talk about the defensive value, like, that's definitely been a steep drop-off. He's actually lost about a foot per second in terms of sprint speed. His defensive range, he doesn't look as fast, as quick, as agile, as, you know, as defensively savvy. And the Yankees defense in the infield has cost them, you'd say, 2 games, right? Like, the Yankees would be 2 games better, you'd argue. Like, the Cleveland game, that was really off. Let's say 1 game. Let's just say the Cleveland game, that one was the one where they should have won with better infield defense. But, like, overall, dude, Rizzo's been awful. Like, Rizzo's been downright terrible. He has been unacceptably bad. Not inexplicably bad, because you could kind of maybe point to that concussion. I know I sound a little congested. I'm sorry, guys. My nose is very stuffed. Allergies are killing me the same way that Rizzo is killing us on the field right now. And that was definitely, I was totally going for that segue. I'd kind of planned going into that at some point. But yeah, no, like, Rizzo's just bad, dude. Like, I don't like to, like, kind of start being like, oh, doom, oh, this doom and gloom. Like, I think it's inappropriate for me to do that on a podcast. I think it just kind of, you know, we have an audience and it's a little bit kind of like a little too fan-ish to do that. But, dude, Rizzo, it looks rough. Like, I'm already looking for replacements. I'm already looking at what teams are bad with good first basemen. I'm already like, you know, I don't hate the Mets, but I kind of like if they lose here so that maybe they trade Pete Alonso to us, even though they, I don't think they would. But, yeah, like, that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, I'm kind of at the point of, like, all right, who's available at first base? You know, how's Ben Rice doing? How's TJ Rumfield doing? That's their second double A and triple A first baseman. Yeah, Alex, I'm kind of like, I was kind of like, I think the appropriate place to be with a guy like Rizzo was on the fence to start the year. He has played so bad. He's been so bad, and the underlying metrics are so bad that I'm off the fence right now. And I'm not off the fence on anybody. I'm not off the fence on Judge. I'm not off the fence on Torres. Rodon's strikeout rate has been down, but I'm not off the fence on him. I'm not off the fence on the team. The Yankees are playing on a 105 win pace. Like, I need people to contextualize the fact that we're 15-18. Yes, the Orioles are now in first place. That sucks. We're playing 105 win baseball. Alex, if the Yankees won 105 games and we somehow didn't finish first in our division, you just tip your hats. You just tip your cap at that point. The Orioles are have an embarrassment of riches. But yeah, man, Rizzo's bad. Rizzo's just like, I hate to do this. It's April 25th. It's way too early to realistically do this. But Alex, I think I'm on red flag mode. I'm wearing red. This is intentional. Red flag mode. Guys, I'm kind of out on Rizzo. Like, it's the numbers are so bad for him. How, like, 2.6% barrel rate from your first baseman. You're not getting power or defense from your first baseman. Right? When LeMahieu comes back, do you just play him over Rizzo? Like, you're going to sit Cabrera? If when LeMahieu comes back and he's scheduled to start his rehab assignment today in Somerset, yo, if the Yankees bring him back and Cabrera rides the bench and it's not Rizzo, dude, I'm going to have problems. Like, I'm going to have problems, man. Rizzo's clearly, like, look, Volpe slumping, I get it, but, like, yeah, 200 WRC plus, it was going to fall apart. Like, he was going to fall down to earth. If he finishes with a 130 WRC plus, he had a great year. Like I need people to also put that into context here. Cabrera, he was going to slump from his thing, but I just, you can't play Rizzo at some point, right? Like, I think my cutoff is, like, May 15th, and they got to, like, really bench him for good.
Yeah, you know, I figured I would go on this long spiel, but I'm just going to read you exactly what I wrote this morning, because it kind of tells the full story of his offensive struggle. So I said, coming off a season marred by serious concussion symptoms, was led the Bombers to end his 2023 campaign prematurely following a strong start. Rizzo's 2024 performance has unfortunately been among the worst of his career. He is batting .224 with a .338 OBP and a .480 slugging, yet he ranks in the lowest percentiles in several offensive categories. So let's talk about those categories. He ranks in the 25th percentile in batting average at .222. His expected slugging percentage is .309, which he's currently at .480, so he's expected to be slugging even worse, significantly lower than his actual number. He's only managed to barrel up 3% of balls. He's put in play 32nd percentile rating in hard hit percentage and 21st percentile in sweet spot percentage. This is a player who, you know, is known for eating those balls. Jesus Christ.
I was looking up data. I'm like, all right, let me pull some data. Yo, you can't eat.
I said it in my head and I freaking wanted awful. To stop. I
that
said
was it in my That tops any one of them pause moments. That's number one. I'm sorry, Alex. Thank you. That's the crown.
Why do they
Sam
have to,
Aiden, clip
when
that.
When you have to say balls or strikes, how am I supposed to say he takes balls? You know what I mean? Like,
I guess you could say he recognizes pitches out of the zone well. Oh, you know what? You're right. No, maybe I should grow up a little bit. I'll grow up a little bit.
Balls, okay, which has traditionally been his MO, and let's be PG for a second, because that's just the truth. He takes a lot of balls. Don't you freaking smirk at me either. And but so he's usually good at recognizing balls out of the zone. Is that a better way to say it? I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. He's better at recognizing, I can't think of that stuff off the top of my head, okay? So, you know, he's better at recognizing balls out of the zone in the past. Now he's really struggling to, you know, we've seen him crowd the plate, you know, inch up on his bat and try to kind of, you know, be a little bit more efficient when making contact. That hasn't been the same. His numbers against fastballs this year, and you traditionally, like, batters are good against fastballs and bad against breaking pitches, unless you're Mason Miller in that facet. You cannot touch this guy's fastball at 103 miles an hour. And we saw that after he struck out our first three batters yesterday in unison, not very good. So, you know, looking at Rizzo's strengths in the past, he's been really good against breaking and off-speed pitches, but he simply is not catching up to the fastball. You know, why do you think that is? Why do you think he's struggling so much against fastballs? It's almost like he's having a delayed reaction, or he's waiting for those breaking pitches to come, and he can't hit the fastball anymore. I really don't get why.
Yeah, dude, I just think he's cooked. Like once we start talking about he can't hit velo, the plate discipline isn't as good, the power's gone, the sprint speed's declining. That's like, okay, yeah, he's cooked. Like, those are like the worst signs possible, right? Like, that's usually when you start pressing every alarm in the world, right? Like, that's code red. That's like, oh, this guy's done. Stanton last year was so concerning, was couldn't hit fastballs, couldn't hit velo, getting slower, still getting injured, played fewer games he did in 2023 than he did in 2022. You're like, oh, this is not trending in the right direction. But the fundamental difference is Stanton still kept hitting the ball hard. So you just felt like there was like, okay, the OBP, like if he can figure out a way to fix the swing, the physical skills are still there. There isn't, okay, you just got to fix the swing for Rizzo. It's like, he's got to hit the ball. He's going to improve his raw power tool by about 2 or 3 grades at the age of 34, 35, when he's already a pretty big first baseman. That's, yeah, we're talking about Dunn. Since that concussion, he's sixth in F4, has the sixth worst F4 in the league at negative 1.1, a 57 WRC plus, the eighth worst mark for anyone with at least 250 plate appearances. As a lefty in Yankee Stadium, he has the lowest slugging percentage in baseball at 245. I want you to listen to this. Miles Straw, Brett Beatty, Tim Anderson, Nick Fortes, Nick Allen, Harrison Bader, Joey Wendell, Andrew Benintendi, Javier Baez. I'm listing off the names of guys with better slugging percentages than the left-handed hitting first baseman of the New York Yankees. Javier Baez plays in Detroit, has been awful. Javier Baez has a higher WRC plus, has a higher batting average, and more WAR than Anthony Rizzo. Javier Baez. We talk about how that guy's lost at the plate. This guy stinks. What is Anthony Rizzo then? Right? Like, and this is not a personal attack at Rizzo. He's a good dude from all my understanding of him. Done everything right. Does everything right. Handles himself well on and off the field. Yo, dude, you can't be hitting like Baez. And you only got 1 year left in your deal, basically. I just like, dude, he's cooked. Like, it's Javier Baez, man. He's worse than Javier Baez to play, dude, for like a year. You can't make this stuff up, man. You can't. And for one, like, kind of emphasis, just kind of like to make, kind of tie this steaming pile of not great news, his barrel percentage. He has 5 barrels since June 1st. Isaiah Kiner Falefa has as many barrels as Anthony Rizzo since June 1st. Isaiah Kiner Falefa, IKF, the slap hitter, the guy who wasn't even an everyday player for the entire year for us, the guy whose entire game is predicated on not barreling the baseball, has found a way, and he has a higher hard hit percentage. Yo, this is like, I didn't think it was this bad. Like, I thought it was bad, but like, I didn't really delve into the numbers until like, I was like, man, this is not looking, this is like really bad. Yo, this is bad. This is so bad. Like, this is the first episode, I think, where you and I are sitting here talking in the season. We're like, yo, this is just terrible. This is bad. I hope he turns it around. Yo, Ben Rice, pick up the phone. Yo, Yankees, you gotta start figuring something out. In the next couple of weeks, whether it's Rumfield in AAA, who I think the Yankees believe in a good bit, Ben Rice in AA, moving LeMahieu to first and giving Rizzo, you know, kind of taking away some playing time from Rizzo. But, like, yeah, he's bad. Like, he's been worse than Cabrera was last year. Like, you can't rationally bench Cabrera right now. You got to sit Rizzo when LeMahieu comes back. It's I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Listen, this is one of those situations where, like, it's early in the year. Things could change, right? Things could absolutely change. But there are clear signs of Rizzo getting significantly worse. And I unfortunately do believe it's due to age. I unfortunately believe that it was due to the concussion last year and residual kind of variables and unfortunate just kind of rollovers into this season. I hope to God I'm wrong. I hope to God he starts to pick it up. I hope to God that everything looks better in a couple weeks from now. But for now, he is a liability to this team in the heart of the order. He's batting fifth. You can't have an automatic out batting fifth, man. You know what I mean? At some point, the Yankees have to think about pushing Verdugo up to fifth, right? Like, at some point, they have to move him behind Stanton because he's balling right now. And the top half of this order, there's no balance. They're just all freaking ice cold except for Juan Soto. This is unsustainable, in my opinion. So I wouldn't be opposed to moving Rizzo down the order a little bit until he heats up, and then you can run it back. But just move him a little bit. Just move it around because it's not working. The Yankees have to try and shuffle their lineup. They just went scoreless for the fourth time this season yesterday and against the freaking Athletics. And today, they have to go up against Paul Blackburn as a 1.08 ERA this season. The guy's absolutely electric right now, and which is surprising because, you know, it's Paul Blackburn. He's nothing like crazy, but he's a very good pitcher this year. And Stroman's been solid for us. But, you know, I am curious to see what happens over the next couple of months. I'm curious to see if the Yankees think a lot about Ben Rice, if they start to push him through the system a little bit faster. But, guys, always happy to hear your thoughts down below in the YouTube comment section. Make sure to like and subscribe as always. And we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode. Perfect.